joining us on KMBR 680. Great to have him with us on a Saturday or Sunday, whenever this will play. And it's Paul White of USA Today. Paul, spring training, I'm thrilled to see you.
It's good to be in Arizona after driving every which way in Florida for 3 weeks.
Senior writer for USA Today, and that is Paul White, who is with us. Paul, you've been in Florida. We have not. There are a lot of things going on in Florida with teams there that we haven't really heard of out here. You've been there. Bring us up to date on some of the teams, the Braves, the Phillies, the Pirates, the Cardinals, the Marlins. What's going on there?
The Cardinals are really good, as if you didn't know that already. The more and more depth coming. They've seemed to have covered every angle. Colton Wong, the young second baseman, they want to start every day. Oh, just in case, we'll have Mark Ellis here too. Oscar Tavares, who was arguably the number one prospect a year ago, with through an injury-filled season last year. They don't have to push him into the majors, because not only do they have all the outfielders they had last year, but they added Peter Borges from the Angels. So it's a real good team. A lot of pitching, a lot of great high-velocity arms. They're easily the best National League team I saw in Florida this year.
Wow. You know, I think about the pitching. Jaime Garcia still has some arm trouble, but Wainwright, still one of the best pitchers in the league, and here comes Waka and Martinez and people like that.
I mean, Martinez is interesting. One of the guys, again, over the last few years, we've seen where they've had great young arms, no room for him in the rotation, so they throw him in the bullpen. Trevor Rosenthal becomes a closer. Martinez becomes an eighth-inning guy. They keep telling us Martinez is battling for a spot in the rotation, but it's going to be real hard to give him up as a setup guy, especially with Jason Mott not quite ready. He should be ready pretty soon, but they don't have to push him.
All right, we know about the Cardinals. Believe me, we've seen it firsthand, the power arms. And it's interesting what you said about Mott, because he was the closer. Now, I guess, we'll finish with this, he's got to fight his way back.
Exactly. Rosenthal will start the year as the closer. I think they would like Mott to get that job back, but he's going to have to earn it. They'll mix and match those guys and just say, hey, who's getting people out?
Paul White with us from USA Today. Paul, being down here, I've seen a lot of writers come through. Not many people give the Pirates much of a chance to repeat this year. I look at the young players coming up. Garrett Cole's a year older. McCutchen is MVP. Why is everyone so down on the Pirates?
I think there's a little bit of a depth issue there. I think there's some people who wonder, last year they overachieved, and there's a tendency for a team like that, even though it's a franchise on the rise, they tend to slide back a little bit. And in a very difficult division, that might be enough to miss the playoffs. But they're going to be good. We saw Garrett Cole come up midseason last year. Wait until midseason this year. Jameson Taillon, with a big argument in Pirates camp, who's better, Taillon or Cole? I think Cole's a little better, but Taillon's going to be an outstanding pitcher. And you walk into their clubhouse, and all of a sudden this massive human walks by you, and you go, my gosh, who is that? That's Gregory Polanco, who's going to be the third outfielder. Forget Jose Tabata, but that won't happen again until June, because they're going to do what they do with arbitration and free agency. But you're going to see him, and suddenly you have Marte, McCutchen, and Polanco as their outfield. Some depth issues in the infield. They don't know what they're going to do at first base for sure. But you're right. It's a real good team, and again, a good bullpen.
Yeah. Boy, bullpen, the key to baseball, fans. You know, I've said that a million times to everybody. Atlanta Braves got a bad break with Chris Medlin, second Tommy John surgery coming up, but they turn around and bring in Irvin Santana. The Braves do not mess around.
No, they don't. And they know they've got to go for it. They don't have a lot of margin for error. That division is going to be difficult. Washington is better than they were last year. Probably every bit as good as they were 2 years ago. Maybe even better than that with the experience some of the young guys have, and they added Doug Fister to their rotation. But Atlanta, I asked Freddy Gonzalez, are you thrilled because you won a division last year and Dan Uggla and B.J. Upton were horrible? Or are you thinking, oh my gosh, we can't have that happen again, we'll never get away with it? And he said he kind of likes to take the glass half full approach, and that is, hey, you know, those guys have got to be better than they were last year. And I think that's the key for them. And losing Brian McCann, Evan Gattis will do the majority of their catching. That's fine. But Brian McCann had become the leader, the post-Chipper Jones leader. They don't have that next guy yet.
Yeah, boy, interesting. Paul, of course, nice to talk with Paul White. How about the Washington Nationals? Let's talk about them a little bit. Now, of course, Mike Rizzo shut Strasburg down 2 years ago. He's still sort of paying for that. Really, he would have been in the World Series, but for that issue, I believe it firmly. To me, I pick them as the pennant winners. Now, I know the Cardinals are tough, and then you got, we haven't even talked about the West out here, but what about the Nationals?
I think they're really, really good, and the rotation got much deeper. As I mentioned, they brought Pfister in there, another team with a pretty solid bullpen, Soriano, the closer. Tyler Clippard's probably one of the unheralded top setup men in this game. Drew Storen's had some issues. They might make some move. They picked up Jerry Blevins. You know, they got deep again. That's basically a young offense getting better. Adam LaRoche is the only sort of old guy in that offense, but you've got Bryce Harper, who's really ready to explode. Anthony Rendon at second base, a great young player. Jason Worth, again, they were struggling in the second half, but he wasn't last year. People didn't notice what a great year he had. He actually started to earn that money that they gave him, and everybody went flipped out about several years ago.
What about the Marlins? John Henry this week complained about the Marlins not only sending minor league players to a game. He says, look what you're putting on the field during the regular season. He was very adamant about it. Goes back to revenue sharing and all that. He's been very outspoken about it.
Yeah, the Marlins are awful. But the one thing is very interesting. They overhauled their front office. Dan Jennings, who's been with that club forever, is now the general manager. And what was interesting to me was several people, Mike Berger from Arizona and some others, who had worked for Jeffrey Loria in the past, way back in Montreal, and didn't have a real good experience, have bought into the fact that supposedly the front office is going to be allowed to do its job and build through the farm system. And believe me, they got some great young players. Jose Fernandez is every bit as good as we saw last year. Christian Yelich, a young outfielder. The real key there is, can they build enough around Giancarlo Stanton so he's going to want to stay? He's been telling friends for 2 years, I'm counting the days till I can get out of here. I don't know if it's going to change fast enough. I mean, they're an awful team right now, but some great young players there, some great young arms.
Yeah. I love the pitching, and the guy who killed the Giants last year was Ozuna. He came here and won one series, made this whole season.
Yeah, and they see him as like their third or fourth best young outfielder, really. You know, you go Stanton, you go Yelich, Jake Marisnik is another real good prospect. So there's a lot of depth there, and, you know, the question is, do they keep people around? And let's face it, that's the track record's not good.
No, it's not. Paul White of USA Today. Paul, looking maybe down the road a little bit to teams that may be rebuilding or not. I'm not sure what the Phillies are doing, but let's talk a little Phillies and Astros, because the Astros went out and brought in Scott Feldman, Dexter Fowler. They've got Mark Appel on his way, that first-round pick from Stanford. Talk Phillies and Astros.
The Phillies are in big trouble. This is the third consecutive year of, can we get one more good season out of our old guys? And they have no choice. They haven't had a lot out of their farm system. They're strapped with big contracts, and they've got an ownership that says, we're a big market team, and we've been to the World Series, and we fell our ballpark, and we've got to keep trying to win. And that really puts Ruben Amaro, their GM, in a tight spot. So they are what they are. You know, and if they're all healthy, yeah, cross your fingers there. If they are, that's a pretty good club. But the chances of that happening are probably minuscule.
How's Ryan Sandberg doing?
He's doing great. I think he gets it. I think he understands what's going on with the club. I think the front office has been straight with him, and they've got to try to develop some younger kids in there. You know, we saw Cody Ashe at third base last year, Darren Ruff, a power-hitting outfielder. They've got a kid, Michael Franco, that can play first or third. They've got to start finding ways to mix those guys in, but it's still not a strong farm system.
Houston Astros, anything coming there that we can talk about? I know I mentioned a couple of names.
Well, it's a fascinating team to me in spring training. They still might lose 100 games, which would be better than last year, but they've gone out and taken the volume approach to great young players. And you talk about seeing impressive physical specimens. George Springer is one. And then Carlos Correa walks in next to him. He's bigger, and you think, oh, and he's the shortstop. And Springer could be the center fielder. And these are great, great young athletes. How ready they are this year, hard to say. But Jeff Luno, the GM, told me this spring, we're done making flip trades. We're done bringing in Feldman, Chad Qualls. Those guys are not here to be flipped at the deadline anymore. They're here to help our young guys grow into major league players. And they've got a load of young talent there. I mean, I just mentioned the top of them. And they found interesting ways to go looking for talent. Jeff Luno grew up in Mexico. And he signed two kids out of the Mexican League last year. One you won't miss if you ever see him. His name is Jafet Amador. He's a 340-pound first baseman. And he's not the lump you think he is. He can crush the ball. And another little outfielder, 5'8" guy, stocky, named Leo Harris, who's been playing in the Mexican League since he was 17. He's 24, 25 now. But if you look him up, the guy just hits 320 every year with a fabulous on-base percentage and never strikes out. They're finding little gems. I don't know how many of these guys make it, but they're fascinating.
Oh, great report. Great report, because as I say, and Paul White in Florida, now he's here in Arizona, and these are things we don't know about, but the change in baseball, as you did in this report today, those young names are really impressive.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I think the one thing that really impresses me about the young players now, how many of these kids who are top prospects understand what it takes to truly be a star? And I don't mean just being a great baseball player. You know, to be the Derek Jeter-type personality, the David Wright, the Buster Posey, the guys like that, they get it, and they embrace it. And you talk to some of these kids, and you just, you're bowled over. It's the old cliche, oh, I'd like my daughter to marry that guy. And that's just because he's going to make $20 million.
Great to have you on the show. Always a pleasure. I can't wait for the holidays. Come on, Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day. You're always on with us. And I think it's one of the best segments I do all year. And I love talking ball with you, Paul. Thanks so much.
Anytime. It's always fun.
All right. That is Paul White, USA Today. More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.